This is part 3 of topic 1, and we'll look at the third factor involved in the principle of specificity, neuromuscular patterning, something which I've already mentioned briefly. Work done over 100 years ago on looking at muscular contractions in various types of movement showed that the slightest change in a movement changes the way muscles function. The original researcher in this area was a man called Galbraith, who looked at the functions of the deltoid muscles in rotating the arm. We seem to have lost sight of the fact that when one alters a movement, one alters the neuromuscular patterning. And in skill development and skill improvement, it's the refinement of neuromuscular patterning that will determine how much improvement occurs. As I've said before, neuromuscular patterning may well be the major determinant of most performances. Because the trials to really effectively produce a good neuromuscular patterning, those trials need to be done in blocks with many repetitions, it most likely is appropriate to reduce irrelevant, non-specific auxiliary activities that consume time and fatigue athletes but do not improve their performance. There are a number of implications of neuromuscular patterning, with the assumption being that changes in topographies of actions produce changes in the neuromuscular patterns of movements, which constitute different skills and require their own specific learning. What coaches need to do is they need to analyze activities in terms of their being qualitatively the same as that required for a contest. The second one is that the potential exists that auxiliary training may produce competing and often dominant response patterns which will reduce performance or even hinder improvement. For example, swimmers might swim like a weightlifter. A long jumper might run up as they run through the pit rather than running up and proceeding to jump. Actions which are done out of context or in part destroy the appropriate neuromuscular patterning that would be required in a contest. The third feature is we should return to specific training. The quality and quantity of performances should be developed to those required in contests, and the feedback and coaching that is provided should focus on such an aim. The use of activities which are only supposedly partly related to a competitive performance most likely will hinder that performance rather than help it. The fourth implication of neuromuscular patterning is that technique and psychological control should be the dominant emphases of year-round training rather than physical conditioning. The principle of specificity focuses primarily on neuromuscular patterning, that is, the learning of what needs to be performed in a competition. If one disregards that particular principle, then much irrelevant training will occur and time will be wasted, and athletes will not be able to enjoy the intrinsic benefits of performing in a competitive setting at a very fine standard and one that is personally satisfactory to them. The principle of specificity is the first principle and the major principle that needs to always be considered by a coach who wishes to increase his or her coaching effectiveness. This completes topic 1 of this workshop.